Do you remember I told you that when I'm trying to prove to someone that God is sovereign over his entire universe, I'll quote them one verse. I'll give them a verse like Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will. And the people will invariably say, yeah, well, give us another verse. And I will say, no, I'm not giving you another verse. I gave you one, that's all I need. And then when I'm trying to prove the salvation of all to someone, what do? I give them one verse. I give them, say, 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the savior of all humanity, especially of believers. They say, yeah, but give us another verse. I have many other verses for both things, the sovereignty of God and the salvation of all. Do I give them these other verses? Sometimes. But all we need is one. The reason I'm telling you this is I think God does this to us sometimes. And we need to pay attention. Because we say, God, show us something. Give us some hope. Give us an expectation. Give us comfort. We're dying down here. And God does one thing. And we got to pay real close attention to that. And he says, I could do a bunch of other things, but I did it once. And it's in the scriptures. I had the decency, says God, to have it recorded. It's an epic event. And if you pay attention to it, if you wring all the information and all the details you can out of it, you are going to be comforted and you won't need any other examples. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a scriptural account for you today that is going to comfort you concerning this entire eon, concerning Jesus Christ not being here for 2,000 years, goes away in Acts, hasn't been back since. And we're telling him many times, we're dying down here. Where are you? There's an account in the scriptures that I see a word in this account, one word. And I am going to take this word, I'm going to wring it like a chamois, and I'm going to get all the car wash juice out of it that I can for you concerning this eon and concerning death. John chapter 11. Oh, you know what? It's two words I'm going to give you. Watch this. This is the account of Lazarus, the guy who died. Now, there was a certain infirm man. Pay attention to this word infirm. It's a great word in the Greek, and it depicts our current condition. This is going to comfort you. It means what you think it does. It just means unfirm. But I think it's even better with that, the Greek prefix a, which is un. I think that's better, unfirm. This word, unfirm, appears five times in six sentences. So you would think the topic here would be death, because we're talking about Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, Jesus' friend. And it is. But there's more about his infirmity than his death. Or let's just say that the infirmity is just as important here as his death. God is telling us something. Because remember, all scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for instruction, that the man and woman of God may be equipped, fitted out for every good work. That's us. That's us. And we want to be fitted out for good works, and we want to be fitted out for endurance. And we are hanging on in the last days of Millennium 6, the last couple years of Eon 3, and we need everything we can get. We need all the car wash juice we can wring out of every scriptural chamois that we got here. There's a certain infirm man, Lazarus, from Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now it was Mary who rubs the Lord with a tar and wipes off his feet. Yeah, it's that Mary. That Mary. That's Lazarus's sister. That's the one wipes off his feet with their hair, whose brother Lazarus was infirm. Second time that's used, pay attention. The sisters then dispatch to him, because he's not in town. He is away. Here's the parallel. Jesus Christ is away. He's not here right now, and we miss him, and we want to see him. But his absence is divine. His absence, it's a present absence. It's an active not being here. He's actively not being here. He's purposely not here. He's on it. He hasn't set this pot to boil and walked away. And this account proves it. The sisters send to him saying, "Lord, lo, the man that you're fond of is infirm." Infirm, again, infirm. Unfirm, wobbly, weak. Not good. Are you not good? I'm not good. I'm unfirm. I'm weak. Jesus, hearing it, says, "This unfirmness," that's the fourth time, "this infirmity is not toward death." It's not toward death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He has special fondness for them. They were his friends. Now, we know that God loves the whole world, sent his only begotten Son. But this is a special intimate love. These are people he hung around with. And these are also Israelites, but we are closer to the Lord than Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, just so you know. Jesus said this infirmity is not toward death. That's an important word there, toward. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. As he hears that he is infirm, he remains in the place in which he was 2 days. He remains in the place where he was 2 days. When he hears of this emergency of his dear friends, what would you or I do if our dear friend was in need and somebody sends to us and says, "Your friend is dying, your friend is infirm, you need to be here"? Now, sown into this desire of Mary and Martha to have Jesus come is like they're probably saying, you know, "We won't be so bold as to ask him, but maybe he'll heal our brother." They're not thinking at this point yet that their brother's going to die and Jesus is going to do what he's about to do. I don't think they're thinking that. I think they're thinking they want to prevent his death. That's what they want to do. And they know that Jesus is their best bet, because the doctors suck of that era, and so just as they do of this era. I'm sorry if there are any doctors out there, but you know that what I say is true. So they're thinking he's their best chance at healing. But here's the thing. He remains in the place 2 days. This 2 days, the key word is remains. He remains. He doesn't move. Wherever he was, he doesn't move after he hears this news. He remains. The parallel here is that we have been crying out for 2,000 years. Look at this. 2 days, 2,000 years. This is day two. He remains 2 days. And we know that 1,000 years is a day to God, right? And so this 2 days could typify 2,000 years that we have been without, that he has remained in heaven. He went to heaven. He has remained there 2 days. That is 2,000 years. He's purposely remaining there. And we cry out to him. We're all infirm. We're unfirm. And we're dying. But you're going to see that his delay is so perfectly timed to rock the world. He is going to rock the lives of the people that he loves. But first, he has to spend enough time where he is so that Lazarus will die. Now look, I'm not saying that we're going to die. I'm not saying that. There's going to be a special generation of believers, members of the body of Christ that will not die. That's not my point. The key point here is the divine tarrying, the intelligent waiting, the letting things go. But by this we know, this account is in here so that we will know that when God waits, and here he's waiting in the form, in the example here is Jesus Christ remains where he is, and that it's purposeful, and that it's not toward death. See, it's not toward death, even though Lazarus dies, but it's toward the glorification of God and the imparting of life. Watch this now. Thereupon, after this, 2 days has passed, he's saying to his disciples, well, let's go into Judea again. The disciples are saying to him, Rabbi, the Jews now sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone should be walking in the day, he is not stumbling, for he is observing the light of this world. Yet if anyone should be walking in the night, he is stumbling, for the light is not in him. He said these things. And after this, he is saying to them, Lazarus, our friend, has found repose. So in between the time that he was notified of the infirmity of his friend, and when he's talking to his disciples, during that interval, 2 days, Lazarus died. But Jesus said, our friend has found repose. There's the whole lesson here concerning death. Maybe I'll get to that another time. But I'm going there that I should be awakening him out of sleep. He uses the term repose and sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has repose, he shall be saved. They thought he was talking about a nap. Now, Jesus had made a declaration concerning his death, yet they suppose he is saying it concerning the repose of sleep. Jesus then said to them with boldness, then, since they are daft as rocks, Lazarus died. He's saying it very plainly now. And I am rejoicing because of you. Now, we know he's not rejoicing because Lazarus died. And Jesus isn't rejoicing that we're down here having trials. He is so looking through it. Remember, he says, this thing is not toward death. This is not toward death. And you'd have to wonder, how could he say that? This infirmity is not toward death, but for the glory of God. But Lazarus died. How is it not toward death? Because Jesus knew how imminent the joy was that he was going to bring to his friends when he raised Lazarus from the freaking dead. Raised him from the dead. We're always looking ahead, always looking ahead. And Jesus said this isn't toward death. Even though death intervened, but it's not toward that. That's not what he's after. That's not why he waited 2 days. In the meantime, he knows this too. Watch this. Mary and Martha are crying. Lazarus has died. They're freaking out, right? Of course, they're sitting by his bedside. They're holding his hand. They're putting cold water on his forehead. They're talking to him. And I saw this happen with my dad. It's horrible. I sat with my dad as the spirit went out of him. And I was wiped out, just weeping, like crying. My sister was there too. It was horrible. Jesus let this happen with his friends. He let them go through this because he's thinking, yes, but I know what I'm going to do. See, yes, but I know what I'm going to do. Think of that. Yes, but I know what I'm going to do. Yes, but I know what I'm going to do. He tried to give his disciples and his mother and everybody else this comfort when he said that he would die, but he would be raised from the dead. They had, his friends, his mother, they had to watch him die on the cross. And I hope that God, that they believed his testimony concerning raising on the third day, giving the sign of Jonah. I don't know how overtly he told them. I don't know if he just caged everything in metaphoric language or what, but Judas didn't have it. Judas didn't get the message because he realized how what a terrible thing he did after Satan left him, and then he hung himself. But did you ever thought of this? That all that man had to do was wait 2 days. If he had hung on for three days, even the wretched, evil Hollywood, you cannot sell a screenplay that doesn't have a satisfying ending. So in the movie, you're subjecting yourself to this 2 hours. And in the first hour, in the first 25 minutes, the characters are introduced. Between the 25-minute mark and, say, the hour and 15-minute mark, that's when all hell breaks loose. Your characters get into trouble, and then there's a subdivision of Act 2 where they get in the worst trouble. And there comes the crisis, and it's like the music gets like... And nobody's ever getting out of it. That's when you're at the edge of your seat and you forget to eat your popcorn. It's like terrible. But you're subjecting yourself to this 2 hour thing. And there's another parallel. 2 days, 2 hours, 2,000 years. That's the middle part. But it's a guarantee. And Jesus and God are telling us this in John chapter 11 with the Lazarus account. He's like, I know what I'm going to do. See, I know what I'm going to do. And it's like, I can see him. I'm not saying this happened, but I shouldn't even say this. I can almost picture him on the cross. And Father, in your hands, I commit my spirit. Like, terrible. And we have no record. And he gives up the spirit. But what if? This is crazy. Maybe not. Maybe it's not so crazy. What if, right before he died, right before he let out the spirit, he looks over down at his mother and he winks. Can you believe that? That would be so awesome. John and his mom says, it is finished. Lord, in your hands I commit my spirit. And right before he lets out the last breath, because he knows what his father is going to do. And he said, in that wink, telling them, I know what I'm going to do. And I told you, and you just have to wait for a couple of days. But it's in the bag. You just have to get through this time. Before Jesus Christ left this planet, he went up to heaven and he winked. I don't have a record of that. I can't quote your verse for that. This is just me. But as he went up into heaven, he winked at his disciples. Well, he did wink. He said, the angel winked. The angel came down and says, why are you men looking up into heaven? I would have said, because that's where he just went. I would have been ticked off. Why are you men looking up into heaven? I would have said, why do you think? Because he just went there and we miss him already. We want him to come back. I would have not have appreciated that question. But I actually think the angel would have appreciated my answer. It's like, there's a bold guy here. I like that. I like this guy. Why do you think we're lucky? I like this guy. This guy's bold as hell. Because we want him to come back already. Oh, this one who went up, he'll come back in the same manner you saw him go. He'll come back. Yeah, he'll come back. So Jesus is going back to Judea. He is going back. And Jesus said, I am rejoicing. After he said Lazarus died, he says, I am rejoicing because of you, that you should be believing, seeing that I was not here. Believing, seeing that I was not there. I am rejoicing because of you, that you should be believing, seeing that I was not there. Can we rejoice at him not being here? Oh, Jesus, you're not here. You're not here. You're not here. Yeah, he's actively not here. He's winking, 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 winking. His eyes going into spasms. He's winking so much at us. Like, I know what I'm going to do. Can you just wait another couple days? Can you just get, well, I got it. I'm going to do this. And he's telling us here, yes, I'm remaining in heaven right now, but I'm letting things go just long enough. Wink, 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 wink. Nudge gives a wink to a blind bat. Hey, so he's going to do it. But we may be going to him. Thomas then, who is termed Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, we also may be going that we may be dying with him. This is freaking Eeyore. Thomas, this guy, did he say one intelligent thing in the whole Bible? I don't think there's a record of it. This is doubting Thomas. Now he's saying this, well, we also may be going that we may be dying with them. This is an Eeyore statement. Jesus just said that this is not unto death. And the last time Jesus was in Judea, apparently they wanted to stone him. And, let's go die with them. Jesus is telling them that good times are ahead in the immediate future. And this Didymus dude, I think Didymus has something to do with being dual-minded, you know. I think it should be an insult today. What a Didymus. Don't be such a Didymus. It's a good one. I'm going to look that up. But I don't have time. I do it right now, but I don't have time. Jesus then, on coming into Bethany, found he has been in the tomb 4 days already. In the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia off. Now, many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary that they should be comforting them concerning their brother. Martha then, as she hears that Jesus is coming, meets him. Yet Mary was seated in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Don't you think Jesus could have been there? I mean, I know he was in his Jew suit and they were moving very slowly and they were traveling on foot, but he could have blinked and been there. This was an emergency. And it was an emergency. The guy was dying, but Jesus on purpose remains. He remains where he is so that the situation will become dire, so that death will intervene, so that he could say boldly, and it could be recorded here, that this is not toward death. This is towards something else. It's towards something else for Lazarus. It was towards something else for our Lord himself. And it's towards something else for us. And that something else is immortal life.